How was your week? What were the news stories and the conversations? Acumen Media breaks it down for us.
Time is 11 minutes past the hour of 8. I'm Howard Feldman. A very good morning to you. A very good morning to Tanya Curry. How are you?
I'm so happy to be back.
Yes, last week.
I'm so sorry about last week.
What happened? The whole area
I'm
lost
on a generator
power.
Again.
Wow. But why?
Good old Eskom. I think what's a new term they're using now for? Oh. Is it deloading or something?
No, it's something.
Load reduction.
Yes.
Load reduction, it's called now. It's another word for incompetence.
It is. We've got all of these new words coming up. Yeah, but
last year it was rotation.
No, it's no longer rotation.
Oh, yeah.
Last year, it's
just plain reduction.
Yeah, no, it's reduction now.
It's going.
Load reduction. Yeah, it's quite unbelievable. Bless Eskom. All right, so what were the big stories that social media were talking about this week?
Oh, I'm going to go right there. I'm going to go right to the top. I'm going to go to farm murders. Let's just go there.
Okay, let's do it because
apparently I'm a radical. Apparently I've lost a few Facebook friends. Like it's not been an easy week for me and my Facebook page. But according to the DA, murders that happen to farmers must be prioritized and treated as hate crime. Aren't all murders a hate crime?
So a couple of years ago,
I
think it was a year and a half ago, there was this Monday, you had to wear black for white farmers.
Black for white farmers.
Right. Okay. And I wrote an article in News 24 saying I will not wear black for white farmers because I don't know what race has got to do with anything.
Yes.
There are black nurses in Alex who are being murdered. There are teachers. There are people. The whole country, our murder is insane. And I recognize that this farm murder is terrible, but actually shouldn't we be marching against all murders? And I can tell you that I got real and actual death threats for that article.
I think that we can be marching for farm murders, but can we not make it racially based? Because, I mean, I just spoke last month to a colored lady whose aunt was a farmer, and she was attacked. And I was like, why do we always...
Vulnerable.
They are very vulnerable.
They are vulnerable. They are out there. They've got there's no way to secure their properties. They are vulnerable, and we do feel it. But can we not...
Of course, and farmers, listen, I come from a generation of farmers. My father was a farmer. My grandfather was a farmer. Farmers are critical to South Africa. Without them, we do not eat. That
Absolutely.
Is a fact. So let's not diminish how important farmers are in our society. They're hugely important. But why does it have to be race-based? And they haven't said it. Social media is not, they're afraid to say it, but what they're saying is white farmers matter.
That's
what they're saying.
Yeah.
And you know, the reports, like people are sharing reports, no word of a lie, from 2012. And then when I say, guys, this is an 8-year-old news article, they say, well, I hope somebody will pay attention.
Yeah.
Pay attention to what? Okay, so I went to look because maybe I've missed something here. So according to AfriForum, right, 57 farm murders happened in 2019. I don't know how many people were white out of those murders because a large majority of these murders are not white people, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't even how many were white because that is the real issue here. Just say it. Just say it, guys. Go ahead and say it. You know, and yes, and the DA to take out a campaign for it is just too much for me. Like, why haven't they taken out a campaign for femicide?
Yeah,
the one
you know,
thing that's on everybody's lips right now.
There was a murder earlier this week of an old Jewish couple in this neighborhood where Chai FM, not far from here. They were found murdered, in fact, 2 days later, horrific, in their home. And it barely made the paper. It wasn't in, it was barely covered. Nobody speaks about it.
Nobody speaks about it, and no one was speaking about femicide until we started shouting.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe that's the idea, is to start shouting about the 57 murders and go ahead. But can you also agree that we have a big murder problem, and it's much bigger than the farmers? you know, like a 3-year-old girl. I know there are kids in the car. Anicia Keha. You probably haven't even heard her name.
No.
She was murdered this week in Orange Farm. It's not a real farm, so it doesn't count according to the DA. And I'm going to get hammered because all murders matter. And if a 3-year-old's death is not brutal enough for you, what is? Okay. In the same place, two women were brutally murdered in the same week. That's also not enough. 14 women were killed that I read about this week. If you're going to prioritize and categorize murder, I think we should start with the top of the pile, which is femicide.
Yeah.
But if the DA are going to call for the protection of 57 people a year at worst, it would be very nice if they protected us women too. Like when, and then of course, it doesn't fit Zilla's narrative. And I say Zilla, I don't say Steenhuisen, because she's still in charge. She answered this question this week for me as to why I don't count. And she said there were more racist laws today than during apartheid. Oh, yeah. And that touching black hair was no big deal. Mm-hmm. Like, and then Steenhuisen says, oh, I don't agree with her. Why is she there? Why, like, she is your brand.
She's your brand.
And then the same week you take out a special mandate for farm murders as a hate crime. What are you saying to us?
Yeah,
okay, white people,
I
if you're racist, come this way.
I have no understanding of what is going on within the DA because it was so clear that this was, you know the old adage that never let a good crisis go to waste. This was it. This was handed to the DA
this
leadership on a platter.
Yes.
Take it and say, Helen, thank you for your years of service. Please go and bake with your granddaughter or whatever it is that you do on social media.
Exactly.
But this is not okay. It is absolutely
not associated with the brand any longer.
No, she can't be. Yeah. And you know what? I saw another post which I actually repeated to Zanati and to our listeners earlier this week. And I really do believe it is no matter what you feel about the DA, it was the anniversary this week. We are definitely better off for having them because they're an important voice, whether you like them or don't like them. We need these voices. But this week.
Can we please have an effective opposition?
Yeah, but this
please.
Week was appalling. And unfortunately, and you know that I actually do like, I do like Steenhuisen. He disappointed me this week because he should have.
Because he isn't in charge.
Yeah, you see, that is the problem.
It's just like many are
like
saying
wasn't,
that our president isn't in charge. I think the same thing is happening in many parties. I mean, when we talk about effective opposition, the only one out there is can we have one that doesn't steal from BBS Bank and the elderly? I mean, so I'll let go there too. Julius Malema invited journalists to interrogate him on BBS. He even invited Paulie Van Baek and then remembered he banned her.
Oh,
you can't
gosh.
Make stuff
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
So he said that he would resign if he was found to be implicated in the scandal. All the while, underneath the story, his assets are being sold off to pay off his SARS tax avoidance. So, okay, you may not have been implicated, but can we talk about Chivambu? Can we talk about the people that you're associated with that make up your party? Just like Helen Zilla and Steenhuisen stand side by side, so does Julius and Floyd, you know? And that's the thing, like...
He didn't look good, Julius. I don't know. He didn't look good at that press conference. I don't know. I felt like he was
at all
channeling a 1990s rock star. I don't know. There was something going on there. Zanati, did you see?
I did. It was just so bizarre.
He was a bit Michael Jackson-ish at some time.
Normally he's knockout, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
No, there was something weird about that. But how did social media react to that presser?
There's an awful lot of laughter. I mean, there was a lot of slamming for media houses and taking on journalists, as there normally is at a EFF presser. But it was almost like there was this big build up, and then did it even happen? Because I had to go and really search. to watch
yeah.
it.
Mm. They're not, they, it actually is interesting because they've lost a lot of their firepower. You know, any time in the past that the EFF has said we're going to have a press conference, it dominated everything. And now
everybody
if you weren't
stopped.
Watching it for,
yep.
or you weren't keeping an eye on it for a couple of hours, during that time, it actually just disappeared.
Exactly. I mean, I'll tell you what didn't disappear. The taxi shutdown. My word, what a story that was.
Yeah.
Old razzmatazz was shook.
Yeah. The taxi story was a bit, well, look, the taxi story affects everybody across, because it has such a major impact.
Well, I mean, you gotta laugh when Minister Fear FF actually does fear the taxis. I mean, this is not the sports portfolio, is it now, Mbalula? Mm. The taxis have a really good case. They are peeved and they are rightly so. Like, listen to these stats. 50% of drivers could lose their jobs and 40% of the taxis are likely to be repossessed. Now, when you look at stats like that, what will happen to our country? Like, how can
especially because we
can't get to work?
Yeah, we don't have,
no
we don't have a developed system.
There's no alternative.
No, there's not.
You know?
No.
And then, of course, the COVID numbers. Wow. Now, we hit the 100K mark, I heard.
I think we're at 100. What are we on?
Over 118,000.
118,000 now.
Are we number five in the world, apparently?
Yeah, somewhere around there. We are really very, very way high up now. We've, 118,000 cases, 6,500 cases just yesterday alone. I can tell you across our neighborhood, an enormous amount of people that I know are ill and really ill with it. It is not a joke.
And this is the thing, Howard, is everybody knows somebody now. It's very, very real. How are the people doing? I mean, I think that's everybody wants to know. Like, how is this the getting through it? Is it really as rough as they say?
I spoke about it yesterday. A good friend of mine here, a bit of a better day yesterday. The day before, very hard. This is a young guy, early 40s, fit, healthy, in really good shape. And he said to me, I've got it supposedly mildly. He can't get out of bed. It is not a joke. This is not something that is normal. A couple of people that I've spoken to have it, particularly mildly. The exhaustion is something that they all talk about. But, and then another friend of mine in hospital with it. It is a very, very real thing.
Very real. Mm. So real. I mean, in fact, like the schools for me are one of the most frightening. I mean, as fast as they open, they shut.
Mm.
As the kids test positive and then take the positive, and take it home to the households. I mean, that impact is huge. And can we just admit that we really just don't know what's going on as far as the schooling is concerned? I mean, instead of trying to open and shut, like, I don't know what the answer is, but this is not working, is it?
Yeah, we keep debating this as well. And some of the schools are actually doing, some of the schools are doing well. We spoke to a principal yesterday, and what they've done is, what did she say, use the word bubble, I think.
Yes, they're bubbles, yeah.
Yeah, and so what will happen is, for a particular class, the teachers, the cleaners, the kids are almost in their own bubble. So if something happens in that class, then they don't need to close the whole school. And they're managing it quite well. But it's private schools. It takes a lot of resources. There's no chance. You know, Zanati, you were talking about your mom.
I was.
Just tell us that story.
So someone was tested positive on Monday. And then.
And she works at the school.
She works at the school with my mother. She's a teacher. So they work very closely. And they let everybody know on Monday night that this person tested positive. So you would expect that nobody is going to go to work on Tuesday. But can I tell you, on Tuesday morning, they were all back there because they were like, no, apparently the principal said he must first deliver like an official statement to say that the school will be closed for 2 weeks. But I'm like, imagine during that time, some of these people take public transport. So if someone has it, they're literally exposing other people. And I'm just like, the systems in, you know, a lot of these, you know, township schools are just not as proper as, you know, private schools. And it's a worry.
Well, I mean, over here in rural KZN, we don't have toilets. So, there are pit toilets, at best. So the ingenious, solution, it's brilliant, is we've taken jerry cans, tied them, put them through a piece of wood so that they're suspended, and then there's a piece of string tied around the jerry can, a little hole in it, and it ties to a foot pedal, it's called tippy toes, and you tip it with your toes, wash your hands, and then the water is captured, the grey water is then captured for other uses. So, like, we think we have problems in Johannesburg, like in the rural communities, like we never had toilets. And COVID is here now. We had 2 cases confirmed last week, and who knows what the number is now. And it's very frightening.
Is there access to testing?
No. Closest testing station is 2 hours away.
Yeah. So that's also the problem.
There's 10,000 people here, Howard.
And then what? Somebody's feeling ill. They've got a temperature. They feel really rotten. They're going to go for 2 hours to get tested. It's just not going to happen.
The samples will be taken here and then sent away.
Right. At least they will do the testing there, because otherwise there's just no chance.
They just take the blood sample and then it's sent away. Well, that's another thing that's come to light is Lancet have been not very good, have they?
Giving
out tests to people that aren't accurate and all sorts of things. So yes, it's a mess. It's a mess all the way around. I mean, and let me ask a question. We're in level 3 advanced, whatever.
It's level 3 plus, I think we've been upgraded.
Level 3 plus.
Or downgraded. I actually have no idea anymore. I don't know if it's an upgrade or a downgrade.
And we've been living in it, whatever this level is, for 26 days. Have we got any regulations yet?
No, nobody knows. In fact, there's an article this morning talking about cinemas saying that although cinemas and restaurants are now allowed to open, they have no idea how, because they don't have the rulings. They don't have the regulations. So the cinemas are simply just not opening because who, honestly, in their right mind is going to go to a cinema now? Like, seriously?
Well, I do feel so sorry for the restaurants. I mean, the minute they worked out that you couldn't eat with a mask on, hell broke loose.
Yeah.
I mean, the poor restaurants went back to zero, and this is a massive industry, and I'm laughing at it, but
no, it's terrible.
Every
I feel
second
so
jobs
sorry
lost,
for people. One of our neighborhood restaurants, actually, they've got a very nice parking area outside, and what they've actually done is almost converted into like a, you know, those old roadhouses, so that you can go and sit in your car and they'll bring you your food.
Cool.
And I thought that's so clever.
And outdoor movie houses can come back
definitely.
Look, we're in day 90. Well, we've passed day 90 and no sight of level 2. What is the longest period a country has been in lockdown for? I mean, are we gunning for that record? We want that prize.
I know we're only one of two
that brought in prohibition, but like, how long still? And it's not working, Mr. President. Like, the intention was good, but you know about the road to hell, hey?
Yeah, absolutely.
And just talking about hell, did you see the Satanic Church opened in Cape Town? Why is it a church? Surely that's not what Satan would want.
I'm scared to bring this up because I asked our listeners what they would feel if I had to interview somebody from there, just because it's interesting, no? And
I'm curious too.
Well, our listeners did not react so well.
Especially your wife and your mother-in-law.
And then after 3-hour discussion, and I get a message from my wife to say, tell your listeners not to worry, you are not interviewing somebody from the Satanist Church. So that was the end of the conversation anyway. And then my mother-in-law, also listening, agreed with my wife. So there we go. So then I had no chance.
It was done. I've got a few more stories. I know we've run out of time, but Tito Mboweni just depressed me with his hippopotamus analogy. We are so broke. We're just damn broke, man. Like,
the dam did indeed
break. Like,
we're
sinking by 7.2%. Like, what does that even mean? I don't even get that. But, so there's that hippo. The Dlamini Zuma and the cigarette case has now been, they've asked to refer it to a high court. What a waste of time and money. Yeah. She hired the big guns advocate that obviously us smokers are paying for, because we're paying misogynists.
Yeah, that's exactly.
The irony wasn't missed on me.
Yeah, but I think from 1st of July, it looks like there's hints at the fact that it'll be open up for smokers from the 1st of July. I'm starting to see some articles around that.
Don't tell anybody, but I found a packet of Camel that I didn't know I had. I'm going on to the Zuma trial because we've run out of time, but I just want to tell you that today is one of the happiest days of my life.
You just go and enjoy and don't use them all at once. Tanya Currie, have a fantastic weekend.